We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Into Hour 3, Gresh and Fourier on a Monday. Holy cow. We still got big deal, no big deal to get to.
Oh, it's
going to
be, it's a good one this week.
What Gerard Mayo said to angry Patriot fans. We got all that as well. We have the Celtics. We have the Red Sox. Hey, the Red Sox broke camp.
Ooh.
Anybody know? Anybody,
They broke camp. Oh, you know what happened? You know the best part about them breaking camp?
What's that?
We got a little basically.
Running away from spring training in Florida being Dunsky.
Bam. Thank you, Lou Maloney. See that? God. Can you send that to Raycroft?
Stop trying to make
Dunsky
happen. It's not going to happen.
You know what? Can we all, just for Christian's sake, play that Lou Maloney thing one more time, and then all of us get in on the clapping that someone used Dunsky in a major broadcast.
Running away from spring training in Florida being Dunsky.
Hey!
Wow, that was awesome. That was hilarious.
Yeah! All right! Dunsky! Woo! There we go.
I feel like I put them on stage, and I'm like, you know, the politicians, when they start pointing to people. You gave me a lot of money.
Yep.
You gave me, hey, you, I don't remember you, but you look like we know each other. You, we all did it.
You,
we did it.
Great boobs. I mean, great legs. Oh, my God.
So, oh, it's great.
So you got Dunsky in there.
I was happy.
That.
What's going on with our lives?
Will Fleming, though, kind of walking all over it, though.
No, he didn't.
He did. Oh, Nick did a great job cutting it, but he literally.
Yeah, you want to know why it was easy to cut? Because he didn't step on it.
He did.
He didn't.
Play it. You have the real version?
Somewhere.
Okay, forget it. I actually sent Lou a message. I probably shouldn't share this because those guys have to work together. I won't share it.
Well, you kind of already sort of blew out what you might have sent him anyway on blaming Will Fleming for allegedly stepping all over Dunsky. I heard that clear as day.
No, that was clear, but it was like the
whole theme. Well, how many did he work in?
Just the one. All I know is that all I had, you know what, Razor? All I had to do for Lou, ask him once.
So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Because Long Shanks Fleming didn't get in on the whole Dunsky theme. So you're really upset that Will Fleming didn't push this as a, it's a big sign on the wall, Dunsky with spring training.
You know, it's the last game of the frickin' season, like spring training, and Lou is actually doing the play-by-play. Like, Will's just sitting on his hands, just kicking it, got his feet up, just letting Lou do all the work.
Man.
So then Fleming decides he wants to jump in and be part of the act. Bad timing. It's all I'm saying. Terrible timing.
Maybe he had to go to the can.
He was sitting right next to Lou, and every now and then, he wouldn't even help Lou. He was just letting Lou do it, carry all the luggage on his own. He was done. Ski.
Oh, God. The 508 sitting down to eat my lunch ski.
There you go, Ski.
Oh, Lord.
That's lame.
Yeah, that is.
Just keep it Dunsky.
See, now
I can only have one lame thing in my life.
You've had a hard time getting Dunsky to catch on a major level.
Listen, every now and then, some things take a little bit more time. You know, if more people like Lou, you know, not Fleming, Flem Dog.
What will get over less? At one point in time, you told us that your split-legged spike you thought would take off.
One inning away from spring training in Florida being Dunsky.
We should have done so much more of this.
See, shut up.
All over it. Clean
shut
as a whistle.
Up. Clean as a whistle.
Shut up, Fleming.
But that's the thing. What will get over less? The split-legged spike from Fourier or Dunsky?
That's so funny because it's so true. I just didn't really see it.
I love it.
Just
that
really,
you owned it. And you were like, yeah, I thought it would get over.
I thought it would be a thing because it was like it happened naturally. That's the thing. Like I didn't, you know, premeditate this. I just didn't know what to do with the ball. I had all this room. I was like, I guess I'll just jump up. And I was like, well, how am I going to land? And sure enough, there I was.
You never had a close call on a spike, did you?
No. And the weird thing is, I had never scored. I mean, listen, I was 7 years in Seattle and had 7 touchdowns.
Oh.
My first year in New England, I had 8. So I was like, holy crap.
You were good value.
This is great, man. This is awesome. Got to do something over there. So anyways.
That's you're right. Like, you had a chance here. If you were promoting Dunsky in your 8 touchdown season, you might have had a chance to get that word over then.
You know what the problem with Dunsky was?
What's that?
Because that really was on its way.
Even in 04, it was brewing?
No.
Oh.
No, it was really COVID.
Oh.
COVID hit. And two things. Just Suck a Little was a Lou Maloney line.
Okay.
Which we did get T-shirts. People were buying the T-shirts
using
them the wrong way.
Wiping their hind end?
Bachelor parties, nights out.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
You know, real, you know, just
so people
wasn't what we were looking for. The meaning got lost.
It didn't match the brand of
the meaning
Merlone
got lost.
For you.
Yeah, the meaning got
That's
lost.
That's what it was.
I was like, Lou, why aren't you wearing your shirt?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, dude, it's like, it doesn't, outside of this room, nobody knows what we're talking about. So what do you think they mean? What do you think they think it means? Are you serious? Have you read the shirt?
Someone wants to know the spelling of Dunsky.
D-O-N-E-S-K-I.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. May I suggest a letter change? Because the way the 207 spells it, D-U-N-S-K-I, right? You can get that on a license plate.
Well, so, I would just say I spelt it the exact way it was.
You did a phonetic.
Given to me when I was researching, you know, Chara's injury. This is how I became a hockey insider.
Oh, that's right. I remember those days.
Yeah,
that was a hot run.
Yeah,
you and Pierre LeBrun were the tips
and
of
Dale was all word. That's
hockey.
Not even a. Well, shut up. You don't know. I got hot. I was like, dude, I know. What do you mean?
Here come the Dale comments to the Twitch chat. Here they come. They're busting in a little early now.
See, if you look at, like, Brett Norton, like, when he looks at, like, what used to be used. Like, that's a legit, you know, Lou Maloney analysis of the Red Sox at the time. And it made a lot of sense. Listen, if you just suck a little, you can still be good. But they were sucking a lot.
I love $10 shake. Yes, that 100% incorrect take on Char's injury was the birth of Dunsky. And then here come the Dale here.
Yeah, Dale here. I get
everybody
it.
In all
Open
over
Open that
it.
Door.
The Celtics are going to play the Atlanta Hawks tonight, Fourier. And it is kind of fait accompli, I understand. But it will be official. Celtics win tonight. They lock up the number one seed in the East with plenty of time to spare. I do believe, and I didn't check it this morning, I do believe it's 5 or 6 back, or ahead, excuse me, for the number one overall seed. So complete
them in Denver,
best
right?
record in the NBA. That would be the next target after clinching the East. And I think it's a very big deal.
Seven games over Denver.
What is it?
Seven over Denver.
Wow.
7.5 over the Thunder.
So I think it's because I didn't check the scores last night. So you're talking about the Celtics being in a power position, not only for closing out the East and setting that up, but I'm kind of glad there's still a team within hailing distance for the best record in the NBA because it's the little bit of, yeah, it's that carrot you can dangle in front of them as the – okay, let's finish the mission. Let's be the best team overall in the league. And then maybe for the final six games, we can kind of motor down
just,
a little
bit. Just keep your keep a lather going as you're heading into the postseason.
Yeah, and look, this is one of those moments where I think we have to trust what are the grizzled young vets. Because Tatum and Brown have played, 100 playoff games or something like that. They're grizzled young vets. I think even though their age says they're young, normally it's, LeBron or KD, they're in their 30s and know how to manage themselves and get ready, blah, 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 right? Yeah, no. These guys have been through it enough to where
I would
like to think that they would know how to handle it to be able to kind of ramp back up. And that's where Joe Mazzulla's got to – here's where Mazzulla's really got to start pressing the right buttons here to make sure – these guys just don't be like, hey, can we just go to Aruba for a week and come back and then we'll play again? No.
Is it a little exaggerated to say that he should be a candidate for Coach of the Year?
Who? Mazzulla?
Mazzulla.
I mean, I think he might be the leader in the clubhouse,
okay,
especially if they end up with the best overall record in the NBA, which they should. I think it's going to be hard to deny him. I mean, I know the guy who is the coach of, Oklahoma City, whose, again, name escapes me. I think that's going to be one of the guys. You figure Michael Malone. I know you got great players, but still you haven't screwed it up with Denver. That'll get him some votes. But I got to think that Mazzulla's got to be one of the top contenders.
Because usually, when the coach – has a really talented stacked roster. I feel like they almost hold it against the coach in a way. But in this situation, second year as a head coach, remember 2 years ago, he was sitting behind Ime Udoka. He was not even in the front row. He was sitting behind them. He was in charge of defense. And then he gets, forced into this situation, manages it the best he can, and then has a full offseason as a head coach. And I do think he's pulling all the right levers and pushing all the right buttons. I do think in the end, if they end up with the number one overall seed, he should absolutely win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think I have a hard time pronouncing Mark. Daniel or whatever. It's like a hockey name thrown into the NBA. There, he's the guy who had the skinniest odds at last check. Mazzulla was at +700. He was in there for a second. I'm going to see if I can try to pull this up on the app real quick and see if I can get to...
Whose name are you looking for?
I'm looking for... I'm going to try to go to the Coach of the Year Awards.
Oh, okay. You're looking for the odds.
Yeah, I'm looking for the...
He should be the favorite. Am I trying to think of, who else...
No, that Daniel guy or Danielt or whatever, he's the guy with the... he's the guy at, -450.
I tell you what, it would be great for the Celtics. If he loses it, if he doesn't win it.
Oh, I agree. There it is. Mark Daniel, -420.
Oh, geez.
They got Jamal Mosley.
That's a real last name.
So Joe Mazzulla's +1,200 on FanDuel. I was looking on Vegas Insider. That Chris Finch kind of slid down a little bit, too.
I am the worst coach ever.
So you know what? Maybe there will be a little bit of that. I figured that if it is, you took over for Ime. We know you had a run last year. You came up short. But you're the number one team in the East and the number one overall, best record in the NBA. You would think that that's a hell of a resume, but maybe to your point, Joe Mazzulla isn't being treated like a first or second year head coach where you would say, wow, this guy's done a great job with this team and not kind of screwing it up. But it's maybe going the other way of, wow, this team didn't have as much talent and they still wanted a high level, yada, yada. I kind of like
it. See, you know what I'm looking for? If I'm Mazzulla,
yeah,
he's the same guy that says, I want these close games. I want these tough games. I want these guys to be in uncomfortable situations. You need to find a way. You need to create some sort of manufactured disrespect. You need to create the grudge, the chip on your shoulder. I mean, you've been the leader in the clubhouse since the beginning of the season. You can't stop winning games. Everybody, your role players are playing awesome. Everybody is playing great. So you need something. How do you keep your edge? You got to figure out a way to keep your edge. Or are they just so evolved more than anyone knows that it doesn't matter? Because I sit there and go, Mazzulla would need that just as much, I think, as the players would need it. Right? like somebody got iced out of this award. Like they don't respect you.
Well, I think
they
it
don't
helps.
Value you.
Yeah, because it then becomes the easy sell. You can sit in the room and say, if you feel like you don't get foul calls, Jason Tatum, if you don't feel like you get the respect you deserve, Jaylen Brown, if you think Kristaps Porzingis, that people look at you and say, you're just a pane of glass and are going to break. He could even refer to himself, I'm not good enough to be the coach of the year. We have all this stuff swirling around us of disrespect, and we can shut everybody up by just winning it all. And to me, that's where I think you can kind of lump it all together and do the whole, you know, last year we had the sixth man of the year or whatever. This year we know we ain't going to have that. You know, we got good defensive players that don't get any run. There's lots of ways for tap into the ego. Yeah, you know what helped Jason win an MVP? Winning a championship. You know, all the stuff you can dangle in front of those guys. I'm with you. The more, the merrier. Make them, get them pissed off. Get them miserable. Get them, again, wrapped up into the whole, well, if we all individually want all this to go away, then let's hold a trophy at the end of the playoffs. Fixes everything, doesn't it? Instant respect, instant MVP credibility, instant second all-star, Jaylen Brown, got a great coach, all that kind of stuff, fixes it all. That's where they can tie it in. I kind of like it. Now I'm rooting for Missoula, not for
me too. Now I want it in real time. Hey, how could these guys kind of get a little bit of little juiced right to the back end of the season?
Jiu-jitsu gets chopped out of the
voting.
They don't
believe in you. They think you're just a stand-in.
And he'll use it. It'll be great.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Oh, yeah, I know we talked about the Celtics and the business at hand for them, not only tonight, but over the next couple of weeks. But you found a little something from Commissioner Adam Silver over the weekend that is pretty interesting. And I know that we just came out of, what was it, a month ago, where it was NBA All-Star Weekend. The All-Star Game was a joke, and you know, the dunk contest went to some G-leaguer. Good Lord. I mean, it's just terrible. But it kind of sounds like Commissioner Adam Silver is realizing he's got a problem on his hands.
So he was on Charles Barkley and Gail King's, I think they do a weekly sit-down chat or whatever on CNN. Oh, I don't even know what it's called. Have you ever even seen it?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But every now and then you see clips because Charles Barkley is always saying something crazy. So they were just talking hoops, and Adam Silver said this about the All-Star Game.
I mean, there's always an entertainment aspect to our league, and I think it shifted from when you were a player. And I think to the point where when I saw the popularity of Steph versus Sabrina, see what's happening in the women's game, that we should just be looking to do different things and just make it a celebration of basketball. I mean, we're going to look at U.S. versus international. I just think maybe it we're past that point where we're going to play a truly competitive game. And it's, by the way, it's happened in other sports.
okay, so what he wants to do, this is the first problem. You're chasing this white whale. They want to keep trying to make this game relevant. And by making it relevant, they think if they make it competitive, it'll be relevant again.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to figure out ways how to make this game important again, like it matters, right? For the players that it matters. I just think it's like it's stupid. I just don't even know how it would work. Is it Team USA like the Olympics? So is it 12 guys versus every international player? Is it the same allotment that like a normal all-star game, and then the European players there on the other team? Like, well, how does it even work? And why is he trying so hard to put so much effort into it to make a irrelevant game relevant? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I can tell you 100% why. It's because they take a check for the game.
It's from
who? Simple. From the networks.
So the networks are like, nobody's watching this game, make it better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Fox went to Major League Baseball and tried to do that, I do believe, what was it, 20 years ago? And that's when they were like, yeah, we'll put the World Series home field on that.
You're telling me that the league doesn't make their own decisions? They're influenced by other people?
Oh, yes, that's right.
What? That's
Yeah. Money influences people, right? I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
That's right. I don't think it. Okay, so I'll buy that because that makes sense. Because I think if Adam Silver just was like, had nobody button in and telling him what to do, he would just say, listen, it is what it is. Right? So they're going to look at the Steph Curry matchup when he shot against the, the one WNBA.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah, okay. And that was interesting. That was literally the only part of the All-Star game that was, you know, at least, the three-point challenge and the dunk contest. That was the only part of it that was interesting.
So I also just went to NBA television contracts, and apparently they're coming up here in 24.
So they can add this one in there. Oh, and by the way, look how much cool this is going to be.
Well, it's the whole, here's how we're, they walk in the room, and it's like, hey, I got a plan. You ready? Here we go. And it's going to be, they'll try to sell a television executive. I do think Adam Silver, in terms of trying to tickle television to continue to give them money for that whatnot, that I kind of think mixing in some of the women's stars, now that Caitlin Clark's coming over to the WNBA, bet your ass that it's going to be probably her and Curry in that shootout like they did with Sabrina Ionescu.
Listen, I'm in for that. Like, all that stuff. Creative with that. I think they should be involved. It is a dynamic little change up, which is nice. But the game itself, so you have 24 players, right? All-star players. What is it? 12 European players, 12 American players, and then that's it. Like, what is that? Like, if you really want to, like, get nasty and dirty about it, somebody needs to have some sort of significant punishment.
Make them
get a tattoo of the other person's name.
Well,
whatever.
The problem is, okay, this isn't a fantasy football league now. Good Lord. But how do you divvy that up? Because then do you have to pick 12 designated all-stars who were not American-born players.
I mean, you can like, get a starting five easily. I mean,
do you end up – so, say they want to do this, right? And there's the normal voting, and there's only, say, 6 European players. Then what do you do? How do you chop it up?
Well, you would have at least
– because you're going to jip guys out of what are all-star nods – where there's money tied into it and all that stuff.
Well, that's a problem in itself.
Well, that is. And I don't think it's one that the NBA has got a real problem because of the collective bargaining agreement, and they're trying to sort of repurpose it for television to still continue the whole, hey, All-Star Saturday night and the All-Star game, it still means
something. This is the biggest problem with these leagues. First of all, you're having an All-Star game in the middle of the season in hockey, in basketball, in baseball. Nobody wants to do it. And the whole, hey, back in my day crew, none of the guys playing are from your day. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do it. They want to take care of each other. They want to hang out. The whole, like, WNBA, make them co-ed teams. Do that. Let's see, somebody get dumped on.
That sounds like an insurance liability right there.
I don't know. I saw this, and this was such a waste of time. But you're right, though. If the contracts are coming up, they have to somehow create more value to drive the price up. So, hey, we're doing something that's never been seen before. They can try it for 1 year. If it doesn't work, they get the new contract, and then they bail on it. It didn't work. We tried it.
Yep.
Right? So we'll do that. Okay, fine. All right. Then no big deal.
It is a big deal.
Oh, it ain't going to happen. All he's going to do is just, like, you know, let them think that they're going to do it, and then they'll probably get interested in it.
Yeah, when it comes to the cachiche, I think that's when the NBA starts to pay attention. 1232 Gresh Fauria. Gresh Fauria, W-E-E-I on Twitter. You can also get us on Instagram, Gresh and Fauria. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names. And don't forget, you miss anything on the show, subscribe to the Gresh and Fauria podcast. Billy Lanny is all over that. And you can also go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Not only can you get the live stream of all the shows, but our Gresh and Fauria page is full of delicious goodness that you may have missed. Let's get to what some others are saying, Fauria, at the league meetings where Gerard Mayo gave some press conference, I guess you would say. He willingly and gleefully answered all of the questions of the assembled media, who are just, I mean, good grief.
They could not be happier.
They are streaking across the quad right now because they are thrilled that, you know, they got somebody who is like, oh, yes, Ben, that's a great question.
Wow, Ben, you really thought that out, right? So this is the plus if you're a media guy. Like, you don't have to sit there and write out your question and try to avoid all the pitfalls or the chances you're going to get pants by Bill. That's the worst part about having a long, you know, conversation with him in any format when he's trying to be, you know, protective.
Yeah.
It's just a nightmare.
And we've got more of the collective works of Gerard Mayo coming up because there was a lot. Two things to get to that I saw that I do think are either pertinent or mildly pertinent to the New England Patriots. One of them would be Sean Payton, who is the hard-ass chief cook, bottle washer, and guy in total control out there in Denver. Yeah, I know there's a GM, but come on, y'all. We know that Payton is really the guy calling the shots. And what you hear at the beginning of this is apparently, Christian, there was someone recently who I do believe, like in The Athletic or something, wrote about not being able to move up. So then the guy goes over to Payton. He's asked the question about being able to move up. And Sean Payton clearly has his eyes and ears on out in Denver as well.
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is, like, what's on the receiving end. I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic, and we'll pay close attention to it.
Now, the Monty that Sean Payton is referring to is Monty Ossenfort, former Patriot front office guy, who is now the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. Now, that was a question that went into a guy who is looking at the top of the draft, correct? Who's looking at quarterback.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting for you? Because, you know, we've talked about, you know, and I've been on Mayo for right away with the whole really important position line and all that stuff. And we hear from numerous insiders, hey, Patriots requesting overtures, da-da-da. Doesn't it kind of tell us something? The guy who needs a quarterback as badly as the Patriots do is talking about Monty Ossenfort and the spot he's in, not the New England Patriots one pick above.
You're talking about Sean Payton. Well,
yeah. Yeah. Sean Payton is a GM from afar looking at it, talking about Arizona, not New England, at number three to be able to get one of those quarterbacks. So when, you know, I've been taking some heat on the whole, I didn't tank the value, da-da-da. Well, that's a guy who's desperate for a quarterback and is talking about the pick below you. Not, hey, maybe New England might be open for business for the third of the big three because we know we get one. Nope, we're right to the guy below that. That kind of tells you what the league is thinking as to what's going on down here versus the, oh, well, you can trade and get a bag. Get a biggie bag.
Oh, jeez.
Two junior cheeseburgers in it. Hot damn.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Sean Payton, who did they hire, though? Didn't they just, was it Stidham
that ended up going there? Or who the hell was it? I forgot who they grabbed their version of Jacoby Brissett is who they ended up grabbing. Oh, Sam Darnold. Maybe it was Sam Darnold.
No, Sam Darnold went for 10 years.
Oh, that's right.
10 years. Went for $10 million to Minnesota.
Oh, my Lord. They paid him.
I don't think the Broncos signed anybody.
No, they have Stidham. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, he's been there. But I don't think they actually signed the quarterback this offseason because Minshew went to the Raiders. Yeah. I don't think they did.
Well, yeah, make your point. I don't know if if you needed to know who both quarterbacks
no,
were.
No, I was just sitting there going, listen, he's there. This is why the J.J. McCarthy thing is, upticking. is interesting to me.
They have Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, and what are they, the fifth pick?
No, they are 12.
They're tall, Lord. They need a lot of help. But they don't want J.J. McCarthy getting any attention.
So what's really interesting is what Sean Payton was quibbling about with the reporter was getting into, like, the top three. And then
the reporter said he couldn't get there.
So Payton checks the reporter, then talks about the pick just below 1, 2, or 3. Very Parcells of him.
Mm.
But it's just, I think that's an indicator of somebody who is one pick below Minnesota at 11, who are very, so you could tell why Minnesota wanted to get into 11 to be able to jump Denver. Now it forces Denver to kind of move up. And instead of Payton being like, well, I think 3 or 4 could be open for business. It's just the whole mention the spot that Monty is in and all that kind of stuff. So maybe Payton's looking at it and it's like, well, I ain't going to get one of the top three.
Yeah.
So what's next? Then again, all it takes is the New England Patriots draft Marvin Harrison Jr. And the next thing you know, the real winner is Monty Ossenford because one of those top three QBs is sitting there.
Yeah, and then you said, if that is the situation and 4 is up for grabs because for obvious reasons they don't need a quarterback, one of their guys could be later on, whoever is also battling against the Minnesotas and the Denvers of the world, this is when the panic starts coming in because that 3 spot, like we heard Mayo today, listen, guys, the spot is open. You give us a bag, or it's going to be hard for us to kind of not talk about it. Just so you know, we need a biggie bag.
11, 12, and 13.
We need a biggie bag. That's what I would start calling a biggie bag. I feel like we stumbled onto something.
Oh, that's what they're hoping.
Yeah, they're hoping for a biggie bag.
Biggie bag.
Yeah, we want the biggie bag.
Yeah, I think it's more like a number
bag
one.
Bag boys.
That is a funny-ass commercial.
I do. I like it.
Wendy's
is doing a good job.
Yeah, that one guy, when they're doing like all the breakfast combos, and the guy just goes, 2 coffees. That guy cracks me up every time. I don't know why he gets me. Speaking of a guy who has cracked people up, but well, probably for the wrong reason, Jim Harbaugh. Is it fair to say that Jim Harbaugh Fourier is the nuttier of the two brothers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So old nutty Jim is pumping up his former college QB, J.J. McCarthy.
The workout J.J. had, I've been to a lot of pro day workouts and watched quarterbacks throw. That was the best I've ever seen a quarterback do in a pro day. I mean, not only was feet great and the individual drills, but then he started throwing and it was like every throw was right there. I thought our receivers did a great job too. They all had a great day. But that was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, your coaches and GMs, come up to me and say, hey, great job with JJ. And, like I predicted, once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is, on the field, the little things, the intangibles. I mean, it was absolutely no surprise whatsoever. But, there was raving. I mean, and it was great to hear, incredible here. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. But there's numerous GMs, numerous head coaches. Couldn't say enough good things. And it was. I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean, his pro day. Right? That's literally, I've never seen a better one.
I mean, yeah. And he wore all white.
Remember I mentioned earlier about Mayo didn't need to talk about the floor of Drake May. That's putting the good mouth on a player. That right there. That's what, we just heard right there? That sounds like a guy who has a quarterback to trade almost and is pumping up another guy, or the whole, yeah, I know it's his guy, don't get me wrong, it's J.J. McCarthy, but that's a little more of what I would have loved to have heard about Jerod Mayo just BSing everybody in the league on Drake May. Oh, this is what we see in him. You know, was it hyperbole from crazy Harbaugh? Of course it was. But if we heard something like that about, boy, I'll tell you, the value of this third pick, the more and more we break down on these players, man, there's some guys at this top of the draft can really play. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Not, well, you know, the four really comes into play with this guy. And da-da-da. That's a pro. That's a pro BSer right there. You know what that guy does? He closes a deal with an overpaid wide receiver in Calvin Ridley.
It talks you into why
you should come here.
It looks like a guy that's been recruiting college for the last like 15 years or whatever.
There you
Stanford,
go. BS him.
USD, freaking Michigan.
Yep.
He knows. It's like it might as well be some kid's parents.
And by the way, USD is San Diego for you pervs out there thinking that Fourier might have screwed up or something.
And it was
like
University
that.
Of San Diego, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, absolutely. But that was was well done. And this is what, again, if you're Elliott Wolf, you are not telling Jim Harbaugh to shut up. Pump him up, Jim. Pump him up. Help us. Help create value of somebody trying to get into the top 10, especially a QB. My God. Boy, coming up, Gisele Bündchen talks to the New York Times about cheating rumors and why car manufacturers are now being blamed for cars getting stolen. Big deal or no big deal is next.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Grish and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, big deal, no big deal. So, I don't know how much you follow this story. This is the TMZ stuff that I kind of like. Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady's ex-wife. Would you like her to be called Tom Brady's ex-wife, or do you want us to use her full name?
I think you should refer to me as the ex-Brady.
You know, because if you don't like Gisele, you call her, or you use Tom Brady's ex-wife, right? You hold a grudge against her, like she was the problem.
Ooh.
She broke up the whole, she was so mean and nasty and so, like, you know, controlling that she forced Brady out of New England.
The guy wins in Tampa, and she says, "Are you done?" And he's holding the trophy.
She stole our line.
God dang.
All right, so she did an interview with the New York Times, Gresh.
That's where you got it from.
So, exactly. No, it wasn't. It would be funny, though, if we could get her saying, "Are you done?
That would be
Are
funny.
Are you done?"
We could probably pull that off that NFL film audio.
We should look into that. All right, so she, the most important question, right, the whole, like, she's having an affair with her jiu-jitsu coach was, did she cheat on Tom Brady? She flat out says, that is a lie. Okay, that's the first thing. But here's the part that is part of big deal, no big deal today. Quote, in response to the whole cheating accusations, quote, "This is something that happens to a lot of women who get blamed when they have the courage to leave an unhealthy relationship and are labeled as being unfaithful." She continues on in the interview. "They have to deal with their communities. They have to deal with their family. Of course, for me, it just happens to be a little bit amplified." So big deal, no big deal. She's calling her relationship with Brady unhealthy.
I think it's no big deal because I kind of think she's right. I do. From this end, you and I were sitting here, 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
We were sitting here when Brady unretired. And what was the reaction? His wife's leaving him now. It's the first reaction most people had. Oh, he's losing her now because he retired. And then he teased her, and then it was, "Oh, I can't help it," and come back. They were already strained because he was basically a football player first, and then to her, whatever she needed second.
So you don't see the unhealthy relationship part being a dig at Brady?
No.
Like throwing shade at him? Like, hey, listen, I was the perfect wife. I did everything right. This guy was never present. I had to travel all over the world. I was always on his schedule. He was disconnected.
Well, she
he wasn't
be,
loving. He wasn't nurturing.
She can be a part of the unhealthiness in that relationship. That's why I think terming it that way
is a surprise to no one. Because I know that Brady is very good with his kids and is very much out there with his kids. But isn't Tom Brady's first sort of
love his football
his
career?
Football, yeah.
Absolutely. And I would say, welcome to the club, lady.
Well, that's the
problem. I would say welcome to the club.
See, and the other thing, too, is now when a normal professional athlete has a wife that isn't a supermodel and have their own money and have their own career and have their own ambitions, when there are a lot of coaches' wives are very subservient, sounds bad, but they go along to get along. They know what they're signing up for. They know they're going to move.
You got
to
be very transient.
Exactly.
You're never anywhere in one spot longer, you know, too long.
When you have the celebrity wife who's used to saying, no, I'm going to go to this. I'm going to go to house number three.
Yeah, we're going to Sao Paulo.
Right.
I want to go to Carnival.
I'm going to go to the chalet in the Alps.
Yeah, what do we can't holiday right. in September? What is that about?
Even pro athletes aren't making decisions like that.
Yeah, you don't celebrate your birthday?
Right. There's a little bit more of a level jump there, I think, right. when dealing with Giselle.
Okay, no big deal. Yeah, okay, so listen, I'm going to shoehorn this one in here regardless of the time, so just be patient with me, because I didn't realize Kias and Hyundais are, like, popular cars. Like, people love those cars so much that they're stealing them at a record clip in the state of Minnesota.
What?
Did you? No.
Do they
because they're very easy to steal.
I was just do they have catalytic converters on that thing?
In 2020 and 2022, okay, and Minnesota saw close to, now we're not talking about an old Hyundai, right? We're talking about a new car. Saw close to 3,330 reported thefts of Kias and Hyundais, which represents an 836% increase in Minneapolis and a 611% increase in St. Paul over the previous year. So what's happening now is Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is basically going to say, well, you know what? Kids are stealing these cars, but it ain't their fault. So he says that the car manufacturers have to do a better job of making it harder to steal cars.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal.
Listen, big deal, no big deal. Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, blaming car makers for car theft.
I think maybe some smart folks have found some hacks here. I really do.
Whose fault is that?
I
mean, honest to God, this is a big deal.
I blame the phone company.
You blame AT&T.
It's absurd. No, I did not point the finger at one phone company. Phone companies. Oh, I got
it. So the attorney general is saying, hey, car manufacturer, listen, it's not the kids' fault that they're stealing cars. You're making it too easy and enticing. It's so easy for them that they can't resist because it's so easy to grab a Kia.
Well,
a Kia Soul.
Isn't there how they're stealing it, though, Christian?
It's like with smartphones or something.
They are stealing
isn't it?
Them. They were stealing them with phone chargers. They were popping the cover off the ignition, and it was perfect to fit like the USB-C or the lightning cable or whatever it was.
That's wild.
In it, and they started it. People were posting themselves on TikTok stealing cars 2 years ago.
Okay, listen. Okay, fine. There used to be a way, the older models, to literally just, if you got in the car that was unlocked, rip the wires out of the car, cut them, and then put them together, and it would start the car. But they didn't blame the car manufacturers for the wires being easily accessible.
Well, I think, doesn't it feel like technology run amok in a way? Like all the way around, whether it's the phones, whether it's the cars. Like now, you know, what happened to the day when I can put a key in the door of my Dodge Charger?
Why can't you just put one of those steering wheel locks in there? Get those old school.
The club?
The club or the claw, whatever they used to call it.
No, the club. Yeah, yeah.
I used to have one for my piece of crap car, but I didn't realize that nobody wanted to steal the damn thing anyways. It didn't matter.
Some of those are also easy to take off because the ones that stick to the windshield, if you turn the heat on, it takes the adhesive off and you can just pop the thing off steering
wheel. I like the thing that was the club would like jam the wheel, but people figured out ways around it. I mean, there's a lot you can do with a straight-edge screwdriver to kind of break
stuff. See, the thing is that the other problem is that, you know, the attorney general is basically saying, hey, listen, we have a video camera of one of our, of kids stealing this car, going on a joyride, getting into an accident, And if it wasn't so easy to steal, none of this would have happened. Well, so we're going to force you to recall all these cars and make it more difficult for them to steal it.
The 570 says, I own a Hyundai. There's an active recall to steal certain models with a USB. It's all over TikTok. So they have like a recall on
that. No, I'm fully aware of that.
But
it still is not the attorney general's business to tell the car manufacturers you screwed up so badly, they realize there is a hack. Fix it or we're going to come for you.
We don't know what the hell's going on out there. Weren't they the city in 2000 that defunded the police? And by the end of 2021, we're like, no, let's get their money back.
I was kidding.
Right. Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff going
on. I just thought that may be nuts. That's a sign of the times more than big deal, no big deal. But that's it.
Very well done. Oh, I like it. And you will have full control of Lighter Side tomorrow because I'll be watch Nick's face. I'll be getting my gum sliced open. Nick.
I've already heard it once. It's
I don't even want to talk about it either. Quite frankly, because the visual and the image I have in my head and you laying down and them taking one of those X-Acto knives. It's what I see it like you did,
now.
and they just literally slice it open, and you're just hur, 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 and then they go, "Hey, it's a Hydra Daybear."
There's none of that going on. I close the eyes.
Wait, are you not going under for that?
And they'll just numb me up. I'll be fine.
Better knock me out. Not a chance in hell. I'm going to be up for that.
Wake up.
What are you saying? That maybe I'm a little bit of a wacko or a crazy person because yes. I just say, "Hey, give me the Novocaine." I want to feel that
needle
go all the way into the nerve of your jaw. Do you like the way that feels? Do you like the way you can feel it and just get right in that nerve, and then you know you're going to be nice and looser than cream corn?
Disgusting. There's not a worse penalty than that.
So that should be the penalty? Is it? They have to
I would never make a bet. I don't care how confident I am about anything. There's not a chance in hell. If you said, "Hey, you have to just go get Novocaine and then hear the drill, not even use the drill, just hear it." Nope. Bad memories. The one cavity I had as a kid was the one that made me be like, nope.
And this one's only 4 hours. The next one, when they finally get the real bridge in, you don't even want to
know. Holy cow.
I'll tell you.
Take a loan out.
Pretty close.
Because dental insurance sucks.
Remember when you were telling me to whiz away the winnings from college basketball?
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't listen. What Jerod Mayo has to say to angry Pats fans as we roll into the final hour next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.